Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, and you are invited to join us at 603-283-6160. If you'd like to do that, that's 603-283-6160. And with you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and Bonnie.
And listeners, we're asking you for a favor. As you might know, Ian Freeman, the founder of the show, was recently convicted of various victimless crimes. He's facing up to 20 years in prison. That's what the prosecutors are asking for. And I think it's been floated that a minimum of 8 is what someone else is expecting. I don't remember, but someone said the prosecutor.
That's what Abram said.
The prosecutor said they're asking for 20. They expect 8 is what he ended up saying. So, I mean, we can argue all day if the jury was mistaken or if the system was corrupt or whatever. None of that's going to get us anywhere. But what would be helpful is if you wrote Joseph LaPlante, that's the judge, a letter about Ian's character, how he helps the community, what he's done to you, what he's done for you, and how he's made a difference in your life. Things like that can affect the sentence that he's going to get. Say things about yourself that give your opinion weight with the government workers, like holding office or having a good career as a volunteer, things like that. Those are the important things. So check all of this out at letters.freetalklive.com. That's where you can find all of the information. That's letters.freetalklive.com. My own sentencing was postponed until March the 14th of this year, which it would be a little over a week from now if it hadn't been delayed again, and that sucks. I'd really like to get this over with, but it was necessary, and I suspect Ian's initially, I think, was set up for April the 14th, if I recall correctly, but it's based on my experience, it's going to get pushed back at least 30 days and probably well beyond that. I don't know. There's been nothing told to me or nothing that I've seen in the court system that suggests that, but
seems like every date gets pushed back.
Yeah, in the federal system, everything gets pushed back at least once, and no one seems to mind seeing it get pushed back a few times. But let's go to the phones. We have Sarah on the line from New Mexico. Sarah, you still haven't been hit by a car. Is that?
Hey, did you get our New Mexico national news about Solomon Pena?
Sarah, I don't think that New Mexico news and national news are the same thing. I've never heard of this New Mexico national news.
It should be that way, but... Or does she mean that New Mexico made national news?
That's what I got. With a famous criminal. He was a formal GOP candidate, and he got angry that he lost the election on District 14, so he shot up 4 of the former politician's house.
When did this happen?
They finally caught him.
When did this happen?
I think he shot him up in December, all the 4 people's houses.
Wow, I didn't hear anything about this.
Our famous criminals, our criminals made national news. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but evidently they didn't. We never heard about it, Sarah, is the literal point that we're making, so we're not sure that it made national news or not.
Well,
we never heard about it.
I'm just shocked that this just happened, and it seems like a big deal that a lot of people would be talking about.
Yeah, and this person lost an election, and because of this, they went and they shot at 4 different people's houses, and it took them more than a month to find this dude?
NPR covered it. New York Times.
Yeah, I figured that it was on NPR or whatever that they're talking about.
Oh, he paid for other people to shoot them. That's kind of worse.
You know, it was $500, you know? And, it's just...
Hold on.
Wait, that's all he paid them? It was $500?
So,
Seems like
that's the going rate in Albuquerque. I guess that's why.
What the hell do you know about the rate of hiring a hitman, Sarah?
That's so bad if it's true.
I think one of the people that were in together.
That's
I think
the going rate. Right. Jesus Christ, Sarah.
Well, I think one of the kind of hit this kind of spoil to get a light sentencing. Is that how it goes? If they're one of the suspects, they kind of turn on the other ones to get a lighter threat. That's what happened. So This is a unnamed person that was like part of the team, and then he wind up turning the other ones in.
Well, this is why you don't hire hitmen. And if you do, you pay them more than $500 because they're going to immediately turn on you because $500 isn't going to be enough to even pay
for them. That's a good point, that you wouldn't want them to just be like, this guy only gave me $500. I'll tell the cops on him.
And there's so much about this story that I don't understand, right? Like, was he paying them to shoot these at people or like at their property? What were they being paid to do here?
Yeah, it was at the home. At first, they were kind of shooting them kind of high at early in the morning. And then he said,
so they were like being disruptive?
Yeah, in the residence, in the home. And then they told them, well, it's not going to hit anybody, so shoot them later in the afternoon, like in the evening at 8 o'clock and lower, so it will hurt somebody.
And so they were trying to hit people.
In this article I found, it says that they were shooting at the homes of four elected officials.
Yeah, and it says that one of the bullets went tore through the walls of a 10-year-old girl's bedroom as she slept. So it's not like, you know, they weren't home or anything. It also says that he took part in one shooting himself.
So these people are completely unhinged.
They thought it was a firecracker. Somebody was blowing up firecrackers, and then she said there was a... The little girl said, there's a spider crawling on my face. That was the dust from the walls that was landing on her face. You couldn't tell the difference.
Oh, that's
terrifying.
They
had a bullet flying over her face. And she said she didn't think it was just firecrackers or people shooting off like a mile away.
Well, thank goodness. Can you imagine how traumatized she would be if she had been afraid and she had known that people were shooting bullets into her house? Thank goodness she thought it was just a firecracker.
When you wake up to an explosion, it's like you don't really know if that part was a dream or, you. I don't know, you kind of like don't know if that's really why you woke up or anything.
Well, it's disorienting, you know?
Right.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call tonight, Sarah. We certainly did. Well, I didn't actually ask you. We certainly didn't know anything about this, but why are you bringing it up, Sarah? Why are you talking about it tonight?
Well, you know what? My whole point is the GOP, they should be ashamed of themselves. This guy actually ran for political office, and he was a felon. And that was it was illegal for a former felon to run for political office, state representative. And
okay, well, that's not true. It's not illegal to run for any office. He may not be able to serve if elected, but he can certainly run.
Also, we can't really blame this on the political party because it wasn't the entire Republican Party that did this. It was this one guy who's clearly crazy, ran for office, lost, and then wanted to seek vengeance on the Democrats that didn't lose.
Yeah, the GOP clearly didn't vote for him. I mean, like, if you want to blame all GOP members, they didn't vote this guy into office.
Plus, Sarah, I don't know if you realize this, but there is no system in place that Republicans can use to keep someone they don't like from getting the nomination for their party.
And if there was, that would be terrible.
Yeah, they have literally no control of it. You, if you wanted to, you could find an open spot in the Republican Party where they're not running a candidate, and you could go foul to run for that office as a Republican, and there's nothing they could do about it.
And a bunch of them would not know and just vote for you as a socialist or a communist.
They would.
But the thing was that I think our state statute, he was not allowed to run in our state.
Not a single response to anything we said.
Well, I don't know. I think that
our judge allowed him to run in our state.
Then it wasn't illegal, was it, Sarah?
No, because technically the law was our state statute, but he overruled it. And then he loses, and then a year later he shuts everybody's houses out of Democrats.
Sarah, I got to hand it to you. You are correct. A candidate for the state legislature who is a convicted felon is allowed to stay on the ballot. A judge ruled that Republican Solomon Pena is qualified to run to represent House District 14 in Southwest Albuquerque.
Yeah, he gave him another chance, even with his background, right? So, and then
why do you have a son?
And he loses, and he does this. Now he's going to go back to jail.
You know, there are, you know, nonviolent felons. How do we know he wasn't a nonviolent felon?
Yeah, and there's plus, people that are innocent that were convicted.
Plus, according to New Mexico law, felons can get voting rights restored after completing their sentence, including probation or parole. And if their voting rights are restored, then so is their right to run for office.
I mean, you would think that after somebody serves their time and does, you know, whatever the punishment is for what they did, that that should be it. You know, why are they still continuing to get punished after the fact?
That's how it is in New Hampshire. It's like you can't run for office or vote while you're serving your, like if you're sentenced to jail or you're sentenced to probation. Once you're done with that, you can start running for office and voting again, even though you're still a felon.
Yeah, so Sarah, you're mistaken there. Felons can and do run for office in New Mexico. So the judge did.
No, I mean, it was a special ruling. The judge gave him another chance. But
no,
me,
no, the judge did not. No, Sarah, listen to me. The judge did not give him another chance. His corrupt opponent filed a lawsuit saying that Pena was not disqualified. And the judge said, no, you're wrong. Pena is qualified. Case dismissed. The judge didn't give the guy a second chance. His opponent was like, he shouldn't be allowed to run for office, and his opponent was wrong.
Yeah, I guess he's allowed to run, but,
yes.
I mean, he screwed it up. But to me, you're right. You cannot blame the GOP said that he does not support this. But, you know, I mean, come on. It shows that most of the scumbags that run and represent the GOP.
This one guy does? I don't agree with that at all, Sarah.
Well, I mean, because, you know, I'm a Democrat.
You don't say.
I'm concerned on the way that
I can't believe it. You just described the Republicans as scumbags running for office. I can't believe that you're a Democrat, Sarah.
Well, I mean, there you go. There you go. So that's my slant on it. Everybody has their perspective of looking at it.
But if you know yours is a slant, don't you have the capacity to realize that and to recognize that just because you're a Democrat, it doesn't mean that all of these Republicans running for office are scumbags?
Sarah's a star-bellied sneech.
Well, I mean, I mean, there's people that kind of, you know, are upstanding or better, you know, like better citizens that are law-abiding, that are GOP, but, you know, it does blow out that, you know, that they'll accept these kind of people into their party.
But they don't have any control over it, Sarah. Again,
the GOP and Keene let Aria into their party.
Yeah, they have literally no control over who's in their party and who's not.
Who's Aria?
The person you're talking to, Sarah, I'm Aria. Jesus Christ.
They let you into the... Well, that's what I'm talking about. See, you're sleazy because...
You called
me a slut that yesterday night. See what I'm talking about?
You called
me a whore, a welfare whore.
I did.
So you're asking me that I have to write a petty, like a petition letter to get in a less than said sentence with your free talk show? I mean, your show treats the caller terrible.
Not all of them, Sarah.
I never think of welfare whore as meaning actually sleazy or a slut.
No. Welfare whore doesn't mean you're a slut, Sarah. It does not mean that. I do not think you're a slut.
But you're supposed to be you're the libertarian or whatever, and they accepted into the GOP.
Yes, I ran as a Republican.
You are a Republican, but they need to be the third party. And then that's a way of... stealing the election.
Yes.
Right, and infiltrating.
Yes, and I was upfront about this from the beginning. I literally wrote articles about how I was infiltrating the Republican Party. Like, I could not have been more transparent about this. I told them what I was doing, and they still made me their sheriff candidate. So...
I have no idea. It's so confusing, you know.
Well, it's because they don't have any control about it. They just go into the voting box like everyone does, and they vote for whoever has an R next to their name, and that's just like you go in and you vote for whoever has a D next to their name. You're probably voting for countless Republicans who have filed as Democrats and countless libertarians who have filed as Democrats. You don't know. You don't know anything about the people you're voting for.
Correct. They do that all the time. They claim to be, they announce themselves to be so-and-so. Like, I'm a Democrat, and they're what you call a blue dog Democrat. They, most of the time, they'll go vote with the Republicans. They're just using that as a deception. They're out there doing something different.
Yeah.
And
and Democrats can't do anything about it.
Well, until they find their... They find their true colors and they get voted out the next election.
Yeah, but that's all you can do is you cannot vote for them, right? And the Republicans did not vote for this guy.
What's crazy is that actually doesn't it happen that way every time. Like, Matt Santostasso is pretty much out about being basically an anarchist, and he got reelected this year, and absolutely no one had any questions. And, you know, had went up to him and told him, like, oh, I'm not voting for you again because you're a secessionist, even though they targeted him with articles about it. And this is in New Hampshire. By the way, he's a House of Representatives.
They did. He was one of the driving forces behind the New Hampshire secession bill, CACR 32, which would have put a question on the ballot allowing New Hampshire to declare peaceful independence from the United States. He was one of the two primary state reps behind it. And he, I don't know if he's an anarchist or libertarian or what, I've never actually asked, but I would call him an anarchist just based on what I know of him. And he was reelected. I was watching that election closely. That was one of the few that I really cared about because that was a significant one. Like, here's this guy that the media, they tried making him the face of New Hampshire independence. And anytime they wanted to question New Hampshire independence, his quotes were there, and they were really good quotes. Almost every single one I saw was like, man, that should be framed on my wall.
Right. But they tried to frame it as it was a bad thing. Like, can you believe that this state rep said this? And they just thought they were, you know, a shoo-in for his seat next time, and Ringe, like, overwhelmingly voted for him.
Yeah, because they're into that type of thing.
Right.
Yep. So, Sarah, thank you so much for the call tonight. Again, I don't think you're a slut. I don't think you're a whore. I think you're a welfare whore, and that's a very different thing. And I don't want to split hairs with you, but you are a welfare whore. So, like, that's not just an opinion. That's what you have told us.
She said before, she said, like, I stay in New Mexico because, well, I get the most handouts here. She said handouts.
Yeah, she literally said that Monday night. Just 2 days ago, Sarah, you said that you would stay in New Mexico because it's where you get the most, because it's the socialist welfare state that you love so much. Like, that's a welfare whore.
I mean, honestly, I consider public school teachers to be welfare whores. So
certainly.
Why does Sarah think that she would be above or us, whatever, being considered a welfare whore?
I don't know, but I enjoyed that particular conversation with Sarah,
was
calling
so
me cheesy or whatever.
She led that sentence, so I was like, what? Well, yeah, you're Arya? Well, you're sleazy.
I can't wait to re-listen to that. I'm going to end up putting
that
one
on TikTok.
That's
going on the TikTok, yeah.
So thank you so much for that tonight, Sarah. Anyway, that's what's happening in the world. In other things, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what's happening in the world. Nikki, you have a story that I want to get into about Wi-Fi seeing through walls, but real quickly, I want to get into this story, and I don't know how deeply we'll get into it, but it's coming up again, this $1 trillion platinum coin that some people seem to really want the government to mint. And the article I have here from NewRepublic.com is obviously a facetious article. They're joking. They don't think it's a good idea, but I have to wonder, what do these people think the American system, like, is if the government can just print a coin and stamp $1 trillion on it and that solves all of the problems?
They don't care. They don't understand.
But there are people who think that. And this guy says, we're not going to have time to get into this. Anyway, that's pretty much, I guess, all there is to really say about that is that people are really that stupid.
Well, you know, there's always these, like, TikToks and people going online, like young people saying, guys, I just realized something. Money is just fake. They just tell you it's worth something, and it's worth something. And it's like they're getting there. They're almost there.
But then they go communism.
But then they say, like, that means that they should be able to pay for anything. They don't realize the repercussions of, it's fake money, and it has a fake value. But if a $1 trillion coin is minted, then the money you have right now is going to be worth nothing, and you're not, you know, they don't understand how these things are both true, you know, that it can affect you in your real life, and it's made up.
It is alarming how they don't understand that, right? Like, all of the money that you have, it partially derives its value from the amount of money that's out there. The more money that's out there, the less valuable any single dollar bill happens to be. So the more money that's out there, the less valuable all of the zeros in your bank account actually are. So having a trillion more dollars out there is not doing anything to alleviate anyone's economic hardships. It's only making those hardships worse. It's making you poorer. It literally makes you poorer for that $1 trillion coin to exist. And certainly, there is this huge disconnect where they're like, well, money isn't real. It's just like the argument that atheists have with Christians all the time, where I would argue that God isn't real, or at least what they perceive to be God isn't real, right? What Christians perceive as God isn't real. And they're like, well, how can you say that? God has done this. And they point to all of these things that Christians have done in the name of God, and they don't seem able to disconnect the two concepts where, yes, you can believe in something and you can have an impact on the world because of your belief in that something, but that doesn't make that something real, and it doesn't mean that something had any impact on the world. Like, your belief in money and your acting as though money is valuable, it has an impact in the world, but that doesn't mean that money is real or that it has an impact. It means that you, as an individual, have had an impact on the world.
I'll even go as far as to say that I really do believe some of these things, because I've seen it when I was a little kid in Virginia, like people who were sick and just like got miraculously healed during prayer. I just don't see that it follows that God did it. It seems more likely that, you know, the energy of the room, all these people together going up to the front and laying hands on and, you know, focusing their energy on this person. Maybe there's something we don't know about energy that healed that person. I love watching videos of it because you can't know if it's real if it's on a video, but
to say nothing of just the placebo effect, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
If you genuinely believe that these people coming up to you and putting their hands on you is going to heal you, there's a decent chance it's going to heal you.
Oh, right. Absolutely, and it's totally possible for people to heal themselves.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's God, and I kind of believe that God is within us.
Yeah.
So I think the Christian perception of God really takes a lot of the personal power and responsibility away from us. It's like, no, God didn't do this. I did this. Or
absolutely.
Like the old thing where they're like, oh, ask for prayers. And then it's like the surgeon that, you know, performed the surgery. They're like, oh, God did this miracle for us. No, that was the surgeon. That was the medical team that did this. You're taking things away from people and you're giving them to God.
It is sad. I watched my cousin do this. Like, she posted on Facebook years ago. She's like, yo, I'm going to say thank you to God. I got this job or whatever. And I was like, girl, God didn't do this. You did this. You're the one who put in the resume. You put in the work. You contacted the employer. You did the interview. You got the job. God didn't do it. You did. Bonnie, you mentioned energy beings. There's this YouTube channel I want to direct you to. It's this guy called Phil Hellions, and he's got this fantastic video all about how humans are really just energy beings. There's all sorts of, you know, scientific terms and stuff that we could get into, but that's all human beings are. That's all reality is. Everything is just energy.
Yeah, and I didn't say beings, like energy beings.
Well,
I would. Yeah, like
603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. There's more coming up, including how Wi-Fi can help people see through walls.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S. USA News Update. There were some concerning signs about a former Republican candidate in New Mexico who now stands accused of crimes connected with shooting attacks at the homes of several Democratic state officials. Bernalillo County Commissioner Adrienne Barboa says she was worried about Solomon Pena.
I did feel really worried about him because he seemed erratic. He was spreading mistruths about the election.
Officials accused Pena, a self-described MAGA king, of paying $500 to four men to shoot at the homes of Democratic lawmakers. The case emerges amidst dozens of other incidents across the country where people have threatened to resort to violence against elected officials. A local SWAT team arrested Pena on Monday. A district attorney in New Mexico will announce tomorrow whether charges will be filed in the accidental shooting on the set of Rust. Alec Baldwin struck and killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins. A written statement will be released at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, and you can hang out with us on our social media server at social.freetalklive.com. That's our Mastodon. If you're unhappy with Twitter and the direction it's going, evidently Twitter, I think its revenue is down. I don't remember. I saw the article at some point today, but I didn't even mean to give you the social. I mean to give you our chat server. That's chat.freetalklive.com. That's our official chat server, and as far much as anything is official. There you can find a bunch of trolls. The trolls that Bonnie mentioned earlier, the reasons that why she wouldn't do a Topless Wednesday episode, that, yeah, that's where you'll find them. And they tend to be entertaining. We don't watch the chat. I don't watch the chat very often. I pop in and out occasionally when I'm bored and I feel like interacting with them for an hour or so. It can be entertaining. But, it's fun. So chat.freetalklive.com if you want to hang out with us there. There are a bunch of show hosts there, especially in the On Air Now room. Or you can just create your own room away from the trolls because it's Mastodon. It's not Mastodon. What is it?
Matrix.
Matrix. Thank you. It's Matrix and it allows that sort of thing. It's like Discord except you can create your own little rooms on our Discord server, basically. You don't need our permission to do it. You can do it. So check it out at chat.freetalklive.com. Speaking of other things you can do, evidently Wi-Fi can be used to see through walls, and I'm sort of picturing this. Is it like a sonar thing? It feels like it might be a sonar thing.
That's what it seems like.
Just as I hear it, I'm like, Wi-Fi, you know, it's going through these walls, and the signal is weakened when it goes through these walls and when it bounces back or whatever. So if you had some technology that could detect the amount that's bounced back or whatever, you could at least map out the room and the contents within the room.
That's what it seems like it means. I mean, I totally don't understand how this is even possible, but it definitely caught my attention when I saw it.
Yeah. So let's hear about it.
So researchers develop a device that can use Wi-Fi to see through walls. The drone-powered device exposes vulnerabilities in Wi-Fi security.
It's powered by drones?
I guess so. That also doesn't make sense to me.
So, yeah. Let's get further into this, because I'm confused now. I sort of understand that the concept behind using Wi-Fi is sort of a sonar, or using just sonar. I mean, if you're going to do something like that, why not send actual radar waves into someone's home? But, okay, Wi-Fi's already there, so use that. I don't understand. So, tell me more.
A team of researchers at the University of Waterloo, not to be confused with the ABBA song, has...
With the what? I don't know what any of that means.
The ABBA song? No.
I didn't know she had a song called Waterloo.
Okay. I didn't know ABBA was a person.
No, it's
a band from the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, Swedish band from the 70s. Anyways, has created a drone-powered device that can see through walls using Wi-Fi networks. The device, named Y-Peep, can fly close to a building and then utilize the Wi-Fi network of the inhabitants to quickly identify and locate any Wi-Fi-enabled devices within. The Y-Peep exploits a loophole that researchers call polite Wi-Fi. Even if a network is password protected, smart devices will automatically respond to contact attempts from any device within range. The Y-Peep sends several messages to a device as it flies and then measures the response time on each, enabling it to identify the device's location within a meter.
Okay, that sort of makes sense. Like, your phone is constantly looking for Wi-Fi networks to connect to, right? And the way it finds them is that it's constantly sending out this message, and eventually a Wi-Fi network says, oh, hey, yeah, we see you. You can connect here. And then you go through the steps and you connect. So those messages are constantly being sent out. Like, if you walk into range of your house, your phone is going to automatically connect.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell it to. It's automatic because it's constantly doing it. So they got this drone that is constantly sending out those sorts of connection requests or those... They're pings, realistically. They're just saying, hello, is there anyone out there? And when one of these devices says back, oh, yeah, hey, we're out here, like your phone will say back to the Wi-Fi router, oh, yeah, hey, I'm here. And so will your laptop or whatever. All of these devices will say, yes, hey, right here. It measures that distance and it says, well, this is how far that is. That's scary stuff. That's definitely an exploit in the technology.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm still completely confused. Like, what does that have to do with seeing through walls?
Well, it doesn't. It allows it to know where devices are within the building.
Oh, so that's it. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't allow it to see through walls in the way of sonar, which is what I would have expected.
Yeah, it's more like what I was thinking, like see everything in the room.
It would, yeah, but now that I think more about it, like they would just use sonar or radar. Why not?
But then like people's cars might be going off every time they come home if they have radar detector in their car, and I'd be like, what's going on here?
I don't know.
I mean, mine randomly does.
Not if they use an X-band. Everyone turns that off, right?
Yeah. So Dr. Ali Abedi, an adjunct professor of computer science at Waterloo, explains the significance of this discovery. The Y-Peep device, the Y-Peep devices are like lights in the visible spectrum, and the walls are like glass, Abedi said.
Yeah, I like that characterization of it, and... I'm not concerned with, like, the possibilities that they're seeing here. I'm far more concerned about the security implications here. Because there's there's nothing you can really do about this.
Yeah.
Except have, like
a Faraday cage around your house or something. I don't even know if that would work.
Well.
If that would help.
It could, but it would require, like, fundamental changes to the... Well, I mean, you could avoid that, is what I meant. But it would require fundamental changes to Wi-Fi technology, right? Instead of having them constantly peeing out looking for each other, you'd have a button on your Wi-Fi router and a button on your phone that you could push to say, hey, look for each other now. But even then, they're communicating back and forth, and that's going to
pick up
that signal.
Exactly. Using similar technology, one could track the movements of security guards inside a bank by following the location of their phones or smartphones.
Wow, that's scary.
Yeah.
That is pretty scary. Because at first I've just been like, why does it matter where somebody's sitting in their house?
But most people carry their phone with them. I mean, as they even walk through the house.
Yeah.
You know?
So now they can, that's terrifying.
Likewise.
Makes me want to unplug all of the Wi-Fi, right? Because I don't need Wi-Fi in my house. Almost everything that I really use is wired anyway. So let's get rid of that Wi-Fi. But then again, if I'm not using Wi-Fi, it doesn't affect me. It just affects other people who use my Wi-Fi.
Well, and that's the thing. And then, you know, if it's not this, it's going to be something else. You know, this type of technology is always constantly being developed. And new weird spyware is always coming out, you know. I mean, Alexa is listening to everyone's conversations. Most people's smartphones probably are, unless they have it turned off. And even then, still might be listening.
Alexa and Google, those are just other examples of something that always has to be listening in order for it to work at all.
I went as far as I possibly could in the settings, like did as much as I possibly could to make my iPhone stop doing the Hey Siri listening to me thing. And all you can do is ask it. Like, it stops doing Hey Siri, but I never. There's no, like, obligation that I made, like, you will turn off and I could sue. It literally, the furthest you can go is it says, like, ask Siri not to listen.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, Siri, you can just turn it off.
It seems like Siri would absolutely listen. Like, hey,
but
Siri, don't listen to this.
You can turn it off and it won't work. Like, I have that turned off, but then you can go a little further and be like, ask Siri not to, like, listen. So most people probably think, oh, I have it turned off, so it's not listening. But you actually have to go even further and ask it not to listen. But even then, it's still just an ask.
Yeah, so it could still be listening.
Yeah. Right.
You really have no clue.
I hate those sorts of devices, and they do, in order for them to work, in order for Google to hear it when you say, hello, Google, or okay, Google, or whatever the phrase is, it has to always be listening for anything that could be that. So it can, your voice isn't turning on the microphone. It's already listening, and it just hears those keywords that tell it to react.
And there's another, there's a conspiracy about this that basically proves it, where people recorded them calling their friends in different, like, rooms of the same house. They're both recording. Someone calls, and the other person starts talking. The person receiving the phone calls just starts talking. The next person tells them what was the first thing that they heard, the first thing that came out of the phone, and it's always, like, a second before they pressed answer.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if they fixed that.
Scary stuff, but let's go to the phones. We have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
1%er from Norway.
1%er from Norway, I think you said, or nowhere?
Nowhere.
Oh. What's on your mind tonight?
When you were talking about that guy, Richard Head?
Yes.
Right.
Do you know the nickname for Richard?
Yes, that's why we were laughing.
That's why I stopped reading and wait, this guy's name is Richard Head?
There was this popular comic book detective, I think he was a comic book detective, in the early 90s, known as Dick Tracy. And that's because Dick is short for Richard.
Right.
Yes. So, yes, we knew about that, and that's what we were calling attention to, because this guy's name is Richard Head.
Like, I hadn't read that whole article yet. I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Did I read that right?
And I paused. I was like, could that be real? I mean, yes, we called as much attention to that as, like, realistically we felt was warranted. So, yeah. Was that all you were calling in about tonight?
I have another one, yeah. You guys were talking about fireworks last week, I think it was.
Yeah, in China?
Okay, yeah.
But I wasn't in China.
Sure.
One of my buddies, you know, he was connected at the time. So he would get fireworks from overseas in a cargo container, and then he'd bring them over to storage units.
Okay.
So one time, you know, I got a cake. Well, first they needed a flatbed trailer for this cake. It was huge. It cost me like $2,000 for this thing. It was all mortars in it.
What?
Yeah. It went from 3-inch to 4-inch to 5-inch, all the way up to one that was inserted. I was 16-inch, and I was a giant weeping willow. It was awesome. But anyway.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Time,
you exploded the cake like a...
Every time a row of mortars would go off, the flatbed trailer would hop off the ground.
So mortars are the fireworks you're talking about?
Yes.
Aren't mortars like... bombs?
But they're also the type of firework,
oh,
right?
Okay, I didn't
know. They're the ones that shoot, that have the tube that shoot up into the air and they explode.
Okay.
The same concept is used, I think, in like mortar rounds used by the military. Except they like point that in a direction and it goes, and then, you know, people die. So thank you so much for the call tonight. One percenter from nowhere. And I can imagine that, you know, fireworks at that scale could put on a dazzling display, and there in China, they have first-hand access to a lot of them. But yes, the Richard Head thing was, we called attention to it, and I felt like, you know, we gave that joke its everything that it deserves. So thank you so much for the call tonight. We are talking, however, about Wi-Fi and this possibility, the exploits available to Wi-Fi, but really, it's security in general. One of the more alarming pieces of spyware that I ever learned about was obviously government level, right? This is not going to be something that your average malware company is capable of doing, but they had speakers that were listening to CPU fans, microphones that were listening to CPU fans of, you know, computers that were running inside of buildings or inside of offices or whatever. And they had spyware on these computers that would tell the CPU fan to spin at certain speeds. And it would take that information, it would turn it into information. Like if it was spinning at 5,000 RPM, which was probably way faster than a CPU fan actually spins, but let's just say for the sake of the argument, 5,000 RPM, it registers it as a zero. Or at 6,000, it registers it as a 1. So it takes those zeros and ones and it turns them from binary into a full sentence. Or it gives you a binary representation of whatever image happens to be pulled up on that computer at that exact moment. Or whatever, access to whatever sensitive files they happen to be viewing. Those sorts of technologies already exist. And obviously, it's beyond the capability of the average person, it's beyond the average person to have a microphone that can even do that in the first place. If you have a microphone that's sensitive enough to listen for the CPU spin speed of the fan next door, then you already have the technology to monitor whatever's going on. But it's just scary that such a thing can even exist. It's a novel way of using existing technology to exploit people and spy on one another. And there's all sorts of ways like that that we haven't even conceived of.
This one that Nikki brought in the article about reminds me a lot of just the, I think they're called Stingray things that cops use to find people who were in a certain, is it called Stingray? It's the thing that it will pretend to be a cell tower and your phone will ping it and then they know that you were in the vicinity and you'll be a suspect of a crime.
Yeah, I don't remember what that thing is called, but yeah, I do know what you're talking about where it pretends to be, because your cell phone, just like Wi-Fi, is constantly reaching out to cell phone towers saying like, hey, I'm right here. Well, the police know that and they have a device that pretends to be one of these towers that says hello back and it gets information from your phone. And just like that, the cops know you're in the area. But they don't even need that anymore because there's geofencing from Google, which is where your phone is constantly keeping track of where you are and what you're doing. And it's anonymizing that information or making it sort of anonymous. It's giving you a random series of numbers and letters to be your identifier. Instead of telling Google, hey, this is Aria Demezzo, it's like, hey, this is 077423A or
but
whatever.
But then can they petition Google, like, we need to know who's 77?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and forget about your phone with all of the security cameras nowadays.
Also true.
I mean, that's all they need. We just did a story on Sunday of a mom who brought her daughter that was in Girl Scouts she was a chaperone to, I forget where they were going, but some Broadway show. And within seconds, they identified who she was, where she worked, and they told her she wasn't allowed to come in.
Where was this at?
This was in New York City. I'm forgetting where. I think it was she was going to see the Rockettes, I believe, at Radio City. The mother, the woman that was kicked out, was an attorney on a case. Well, no, she wasn't even an attorney on the case. She just worked at the same law firm in a different state in New Jersey, but the law firm took a client that was suing not Radio City Music Hall, but the parent company. I believe it's Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
So just because, and they made a rule, if you're an attorney or if you're even associated with this law firm, you are not allowed to go to any of our locations, which is within their right to do so.
Yeah.
The creepy part is that they identified her within seconds of her walking through the security.
Wow.
They knew who she was, where she worked. They, within seconds of just getting a glimpse of her face from the security camera.
That is insane. And, yep. You know, the police can absolutely tell Google, hey, we didn't know who this 7AA74 is.
Yeah, they're not going to say no.
Or they can just be patient, right, and they can figure it out. This person, this 7784, they were over here at this studio at 7 to 10 o'clock at night, and then they were over here at this place the next day, and then at this place. And we know that Aria regularly goes to the studio in that place and this place, so that must be Aria. And just like that, they've completely de-anonymized you. They've identified you. And they can also do that if they want to. That's probably a little bit more difficult, but that's the issue with these pseudo-anonymous is what I'm going to say, methods of them tracking people, that none of them are truly anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And they can identify you if they so choose. If they want to put the effort into it, they absolutely can.
And it should all be against the Fourth Amendment because it's surveillance when you're not. It's broad surveillance, unduly broad surveillance, that you shouldn't have to be worried about going or being under while you're just out in public.
On the subject of surveillance, there is a very little known surveillance program capturing money transfers between the United States and more than 20 countries. Hundreds of federal, state, and local U.S. law enforcement agencies have access without court oversight to a database of more than 150 million money transfers between people in the United States and in more than 20 countries.
That's the reason you use Bitcoin.
Absolutely. The database housed at a little-known nonprofit called the Transaction Record Analysis Center was set up by the Arizona State Attorney General's Office in 2014 as part of a settlement reached with Western Union to combat cross-border trafficking of drugs and people from Mexico. So that was how it began. It was to combat drug trafficking and human trafficking. It has since expanded to allow officials of more than 600 law enforcement agencies, from federal agencies like the FBI, to monitor the flow of funds through money services between the U.S. and countries around the world. TRACS data, because if you weren't paying attention, the Transaction Record Analysis Center stands for TRAC. TRACS data includes the full names of the sender and the recipient, as well as the transaction amount. Rich Libel, TRACS director, said the program has directly resulted in hundreds of leads and busts involving drug cartels and other criminals seeking to launder money, and has revealed patterns of money flow that help law enforcement agencies get a broader grasp on smuggling networks, all of it completely unconstitutional. It's a law enforcement investigative tool, said Mr. Libel. We don't broadcast it to the world, but we don't run from or hide from it either.
It's like these people can't understand that just because, like, a common criminal can't get your information due to them having this program doesn't mean that we are just okay with the government having this information.
No, they absolutely should not have this information. And what amazes me is that this was created by the Arizona Attorney General, and now it's expanded to being used by federal agencies and people in more than 20 countries. What an insane growth of this organization that hasn't been created by Congress or overseen by anyone. Mr. Wyden, an Oregon Democrat, said that TRAC allows the government to serve itself an all-you-can-eat buffet of America's personal financial data while bypassing the normal protections for Americans' privacy. And as you point out, Bonnie, all the more reason for people to use cryptocurrency. Because then, I mean, if Western Union's tracking all of this stuff and logging in a database, and banks are tracking it and logging it all in a database, and all of them are putting it into this TRAC thing, and they're not even telling you, then so is Cash App, so is Venmo, and that's probably how they got wrapped up in it in the first place.
And they try to give you this excuse that, like, it's your elected representatives that are, you know, trampling all of your privacy. Usually, in cases similar to this. But in this case, it's like, I didn't elect someone in these 20 other countries.
Nope. And I certainly didn't elect the Arizona Attorney General.
Right.
Internal records, including track meeting minutes and copies of 140 subpoenas from the Arizona Attorney General, were obtained by the ACLU and reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. They showed that any authorized law enforcement agency can query the data without a warrant to examine the transactions of people inside the U.S. for evidence of money laundering and other crimes. That's so, again, any law enforcement agency can search this data without a warrant to examine the transactions for evidence of money laundering. One slideshow prepared by a track investigator showed how the program's data could be used to scan for categories such as, quote, Middle Eastern names in bulk transaction records.
It's not surprising at all after the Crypto 6 trial and they showed a picture of a black man with his shirt off that Ian had sold Bitcoin to, and they said, does this look like this person is a CEO?
Really?
Yeah.
What does a CEO look like? I wasn't
exactly
there for that day.
Yeah, no, they said it was blatantly racist.
Yeah.
Seth A. Frame said that.
I wasn't there that day. Ordinary people's private financial records are being siphoned indiscriminately into a massive database, with access given to virtually any cop who wants it. This program should never have been launched, and it must be shut down now. I absolutely agree. That's an enormous amount of power to have come about out of a deal between Western Union and the Arizona Attorney General. Track captures money transfers occurring through companies like Western Union, MoneyGram, Dollex, and Euronet through its Ria brand. I've never heard of some of those. MoneyGram, that's the thing that Walmart uses, right?
I think so. That's how I've heard of it.
Obviously, Western Union, these services are used by millions of people, especially those without bank accounts, to transfer funds between friends and family. They are an especially popular way for Mexican migrants to remit money earned in the U.S. to family members across the border. Money services companies are more loosely regulated than banks, often at the state level. Under federal regulations, banks must monitor transactions for suspicious activity, report those over $10,000 in cash, and conduct due diligence on customers. Congress also requires federal agencies to get a subpoena for bank records and notify customers when their records are being seized. However, money services businesses don't necessarily have all of those restrictions, and they can't necessarily be subpoenaed so easily, according to this article. I'm going to post this on our social media server. You should read more about it, because it's pretty alarming how much power the governments have to this completely unchecked organization that was not created by any governmental organization.
It's alarming if you care about privacy.
Absolutely. We should all care about privacy. But we're out of time for now. You can join us in the meantime on that social media server at social.freetalklive.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
I need more time to file my taxes. Help!
On IRS.gov, you can use IRS Free File to get 6 more months. Or, you can submit IRS Form 4868 by the April deadline. If you owe taxes, you can make an electronic payment and get a filing extension with no need to submit Form 4868. Go to IRS.gov for details. But remember, An extension of time to file is not an extension of time to pay what you owe.